present the 9th episode of Pay Any Price by Ted Albury, which he's adapted from his novel of the same name. With Barry Foster as Jimmy Boyd, Robert Beatty as Otto Schultz, and Michael J. Shannon as Tony Simmons. Pay Any Price.
Yes, who's this?
It's me, Otto.
Oh.
Schultz.
Hi.
Did I wake you up?
No, that's okay.
Oh, I'm sorry about the timing. I'm on my way back to Washington, but right now I'm in Texas.
Ah.
I feel I was a bit rough on you the other day. I guess I was being selfish. I thought about it on the plane going back. It was wrong thinking on my part.
Oh, sorry.
Anyway... Look, I've done some fishing around for you down here in Texas. I gotta talk in parables, you understand?
That's okay, go ahead.
That doctor I recommended to you is right where you are now. You heard of a place called Northumberland?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, well, a town called Craster. The residence is Beach House.
Beach House.
And the other doctor on our recommended list is there, too. You might think they're Canadians if you didn't know any better. Okay?
Yes, yes, okay. Message received and understood, and much appreciated. Are they here for long?
Indefinitely. But I guess they're being well looked after.
Well, I owe you, Otto.
You sure do, boy. See you.
Okay, bye.
The call hadn't woken Katie, so I got out of bed quietly, went into the sitting room and sat on the sofa, with my head in my hands, not in despair, but to exclude all distractions from my mind. I knew I'd arrived at the point where I should not only report back to Healy, but get his opinion on what the next move should be, but if I did that... Healy would have no choice but to refer upwards because of Carter's move against the girl. In the past, agents had argued their cases with skill or anger according to temperament, but I could only remember two occasions when Carter had failed to win the day. If this investigation was called off, George Walker was never going to live a normal life, and he'd never even know why. And Debbie Shaw would never come out of that mental research unit. And even if she did, she was... I remembered Ansel's words. She was coming apart at the seams. They'd been ruthlessly abused, the two of them. Picked out almost at random and methodically turned into zombies. No rewards, no praise, no pensions, no medals. They could be abandoned when they were no longer of use. Abandoned. With a slow fuse burning to the bomb inside their brains. So, telling Healy was out, at this stage anyway. I didn't know enough about what Walker and Debbie had been used for, or how to convince Healy to stand up against Carter. I had to find out what had been done. Simmons and Peterson were probably the only ones who knew. I dressed and shaved slowly, and worked out the first stage of what I had to do. I left without waking Katie, leaving a note by the radio to say I'd be back in 2 days. I hated not being able to tell her, but it was better that she didn't know and better than telling a pack of lies. I felt very lonely as I went out into the street. I got the police in Newcastle to check on the house for me. The two CIA men were posing as Canadians, and they were registered with the estate agents as Aubrey Smith and Peter Pardo. I hired a car in Newcastle, drove up the A1, and turned off at Annick. I booked into a hotel in Beadnell and decided to look over Beach House that night after dark.
The
there were lights on, in one room on the ground floor, and the curtains weren't drawn. It was a big room. Two beautiful chandeliers and a grand piano. And he was sitting there playing. He looked like middle 40s, hair smoothed back, balding at the temples. His face was smooth and shiny, and he had long dark eyelashes like a girl's. It was Simmons, all right. I knew from instinct that it was him. And I knew now what I had to do. As I walked on the beach, I remembered that I'd had a dream the night before. I was on a long, sandy beach, and Katie was running towards me, her hair streaming, her arms outstretched. And in the dream, I couldn't move, and as she ran towards me, she seemed to get further and further away. I went into Alnwick and visited a couple of estate agents. The second one had what I wanted, a half-derelict cottage miles from anywhere. I paid 3 months' rental and took the keys. I kept on the room at the hotel, but moved my stuff to the cottage. Then I phoned Special Branch in Newcastle, and they contacted the agents for the big house and brought me up a set of duplicate keys. I didn't dare wait around. Something could happen to Walker or the girl, or the two Americans could disappear. I set off just after midnight. The first room was some sort of workroom, a typewriter on a trestle table, metal filing cabinets, a projector and screen, and what looked like a transceiver radio. There were books on the table by the typewriter. The Manufacture of Madness by Thomas Sass. Conditional Reflexes by I.P. Pavlov. A Handbook of Contemporary Social Psychology, I.P. Pavlov again. One of the file covers was open. I picked it up and couldn't believe what I read. The hypnosis programming of Lee Harvey Oswald was less complex. He carried out the instructions exactly, but the shooting of Patrolman Tippett was an echo reflex. It was clear from the transcript of his interrogation at Dallas Police Station that there was no possibility of his recalling either the assassination or the hypnosis. Only fear on the part of the secondary collaborators outside CIA caused the killing of Oswald by Ruby. This unnecessary action prevented us from continuing. I took the file, went back onto the landing, and checked my gun. At the second room, I was just reaching for the doorknob when it opened and a man stood there wearing a dressing gown, an empty glass in his hand.
Are you one of Carter's men? Say, what is this?
Go back in your room. Keep your voice down.
Just tell me who you are and what you want.
What's your name?
Smith. I'm just a doctor on leave.
You're Simmons, aren't you? Did you write this report? Did you write it, Simmons?
Yes.
Walk quietly down the stairs to the front door.
What are you going to do with me?
If you cooperate and go quietly, we're only going to talk. You try and play games, you'll get hurt. Badly hurt. Now get moving!
Do I have to be handcuffed?
Just go on talking.
I can't believe you're an intelligence officer, Mr. Boyd.
Why not?
If you were bona fide, you wouldn't be doing this. If the British authorities had any grounds for complaint, they would take it up with the U.S. Embassy.
You both have Canadian passports.
So what?
You're an illegal entrant. You've committed at least half a dozen offences under the Immigration Regulations 1972, any one of which allows a police officer to arrest you without a warrant.
But you're not a police officer. I'm quite willing to go with you to a police station right now.
Tell me about Walker.
I couldn't possibly discuss a patient with you, Mr. Boyd.
Tell me about Walker.
There's no need for that, you bastard.
Talk, Simmons, and stop the crap. The next time it won't be just a punch on the nose.
You're going to regret this, Boyd. You really... He's British. They wanted a suitable subject. All I did was program them the way they wanted.
The way who wanted?
Your man Carter and his stooges, McLaren and Sturgis.
Did Grabowski agree to this?
You know Grabowski?
Did he agree?
Yes. It was a deal.
What did you make Walker do?
He gave the coup de grace to a man who had sold or given away military secrets.
You mean he killed them?
Yes.
Why didn't Carter's men just do it for themselves?
It's a standard precaution. If anything came to light, a body, say, then there's no connection with anyone except the subject. And he could never be arrested and tried because, as far as he's concerned, he never did it. And was never in that place, that time or any other time.
You said it's a standard precaution. You mean it's standard for CIA?
For Grabowski's people, yes. Mm.
How many murders did Walker commit?
Two men and a girl in Germany. One in Holland, one in Israel, and one in Athens.
Tell me about the girl, Debbie Shaw.
We used her on missions overseas while she was traveling around the service camps in the States. Then we used her for carrying gold and drugs across combat lines for dissidents.
What about over here?
She killed two men in Dublin and one in Belfast. They were IRA leaders. I gather your people were delighted with the results.
When did you stop using Walker?
He was due out of the army. And after he was released, he went to see a psychiatrist and we dropped him then.
How long did you use him?
About a year.
Is that why he can't remember anything about that year?
Yes, I put a memory block on him.
Look, you programmed him to be a different person. Now, what was the name of that person?
Dickens.
And who was Sergeant Madden, SAS?
That was a second level. I needed that so that I could rationalize the violence for him.
And the girl?
She was Nancy Rollins at the first level of hypnosis and Lara for the second level. The two levels weren't really necessary in her case. It was an experiment to see if it would hold. I've done similar experiments in the States.
You realize she's a permanent patient now in a mental unit.
That's only because the hypnosis is filtering. When I found that she'd gone for treatment, Carter had her detained for security reasons. I told him she was 99% locked in, but he wouldn't risk her being around.
Did you expect her to filter, as you call it?
No, it was always possible, but I'd controlled her perfectly for several years.
But if it's always possible, you were taking a risk.
Not really.
Why not?
I'd arranged a terminal program.
What's that?
Self-immolation.
You mean suicide?
Yes.
How do you make that work?
She's programmed to do it when she hears a code word.
You mean to say that you say the code word and she just kills herself?
Yes.
How?
We had some research done. It seems there's a cliff at some place on the south coast called Beachy Head, where people frequently commit suicide. If she's in England, that's where she'd do it.
And if she was somewhere else?
She walks into the nearest lake or ocean.
What's the code word?
Leapfrog.
Can you undo it? Can you cancel it?
Possibly. It wouldn't be certain.
Why not?
I don't know. We haven't got that tested yet.
Does your conscience ever trouble you, Simmons?
Why should it?
You know why it should.
You mean medical ethics and all that?
Yes.
I'm a CIA man first, a doctor second. The Soviet Union, the KGB do it. So we have to. We have to know how to use the method and how to combat it.
Forget being a doctor. Don't you have any scruples as a human being?
Millions of people will die in the next war. We're trying to prevent it happening. So maybe 50 or 100 people die or get disabilities in testing. It's a very small sacrifice.
The end justifies the means.
Exactly.
Yeah, that was the Nazis' excuse and Stalin's.
And now you're sitting there hoping I'll say that maybe they were right, so that you can label me as a Nazi or a sadist.
Not at all. I labeled you way back. You're a psychopath.
You don't even know what the word means, Boyd.
Now tell me about the Kennedys.
It's nothing to do with Walker and the girls.
I didn't say it was, but it is. That's where you started, right at the top, and you've been working your way down ever since.
Boyd, you're having your bit of fun, but you'd better remember one thing. I'm a senior CIA officer, privy to a lot of highly confidential information. They're not going to sit on their butts while some Brit does a bit of private enterprise kidnapping. And you've got a few hours, maybe even a day, before Washington really starts leaning on your people. Then they will be leaning on you. Meantime, you can rough me up. There's nothing I can do to stop you. I didn't do the hoodlum training at Camp Perry, so you're in no danger from me. But when they come for you, you're finished.
Now you tell me about the Kennedys. I've read your report. There's one thing, just one thing that puzzles me. How did they persuade you to do it?
Let me ask you a question. How did you trace us here? Was it one of Carter's men? There's only three, including Carter, who know about us.
You've forgotten about Washington, Simmons. The CIA aren't all like you.
Do you really mean that? The lead was from Langley?
Concerning your identity and whereabouts, yes.
Can we do a deal?
What kind of a deal?
You give me cover, and I'll give you what you want.
Maybe. You haven't answered my questions.
Oh. What were they?
Tell me about the Kennedys.
They just got in the way of too many powerful groups and people. They wanted to be the guys in the white hats, the knights in armor. They weren't. They wanted votes. And by harassing the labor bosses, the mafia, and investigating corruption in government, they thought they'd get the votes. And they were right. So in the end, they had to deliver. Bobby was the number one target. Until John F. got to the White House, and then, as one of the mob once said, cut off the rooster's head and his tail will just drop off naturally. So JFK became number one target. They were actors, those two. Okay, they had good script writers and producers, but they had no real talents.
John F. Kennedy was put in the White House by the people's vote.
He was put in by a combination of every minority we have. They were used and orchestrated just the same way any other political group makes a candidate into a president. There's nothing to choose between them, any of them. People expect too much. None of them matter. The Kennedys didn't matter. They were just figureheads, prettier than most, but nothing more.
And the people who arranged the killings?
They were the people with real power. They proved that.
How did they persuade you to carry out this hypnotism program? What motivated you?
I guess at first it was the fact that I was picked out, headhunted. When you're very young, it's flattering. And of course, there's the sheer scope of what you can do. No more rats in experimental cages, but real people. Everything you do is new, virgin territory. Maybe no more than three other psychiatrists in the world know the things that I know. There's no frontiers. Nothing's closed to you. And almost everything you discover has some use for the CIA or the Pentagon. You're not as vulnerable as even a four-star general. There are thousands of three- and two-star generals with much the same qualifications, eager to take over and capable of doing the job just as well, if not better. But there is nobody to replace me. Not one single soul could take over from me. You won't be able to understand what it's like to be unique. It's almost like being God. I don't mean playing God. Any totalitarian dictator can do that. Being God is different.
It didn't concern you that you were distorting people's minds, ruining their lives.
You mean people like Walker and the Shaw girl?
Yes.
I don't consider their lives are ruined. Walker is healthy. Got a block about a year of his life, but thousands of enlisted men have worse than that from their service. And his mind's not distorted, just changed a bit.
And the girl?
Oh, for God's sake. The reason she's detained is a security problem. If she's leaking, she's got problems from time to time when it happens. Not much worse than having rather bad nightmares. She's still pretty, nice tits and legs. She'll get by most of the time.
What about their parents, their wives, husbands? They're affected too. Seeing somebody you love have nightmares while they're awake, shivering, sobbing, vomiting. And none of them have any idea why it's happening or what caused it. They're just seen as mentally sick people, and they are. You made them so.
You won't see eye to eye. It's impossible to explain to a
lady. No, it isn't. You've explained. But explaining doesn't make it less outrageous.
So can we do a deal? I'll do my best to unlock the suicide program.
Will you make a full confession and sign it?
A confession? There's nothing to confess, Boyd. I did my duty as required of me.
I'm going out for about half an hour. I'm going to have to tie you up and gag you. Do you want to be sitting or lying?
I don't give a damn which way you do it.
Now it was time to put Healy in the picture. So I phoned him and arranged to see him in my room at the hotel. He said it would fly up right away.
There are some science fiction scenario, Ken. It's incredible.
Don't worry, James. We can just ship them quietly back to the States or wherever Langley would like them to go.
Hmm?
I can phone Washington tonight. We don't need to pressure them.
Oh, yes, we do. They've been cooperating with Carter's group, doing the same sort of things over here.
What sort of things?
That soldier, the one who has nightmares. They hypnotized him, and Carter's people used him to kill. And then there's the girl. She killed two IRA men. They hypnotized her. She doesn't know she's done it. Neither does the soldier know what he's done.
Can you prove it?
Oh, some of it, most of it.
Enough to convince a court?
Maybe. If I had top-class medical help, I just don't know.
Are they still at the house?
I've got one of them stashed away.
What do you mean, stashed away?
I collared him to make him talk. He's the one who matters.
Where is he now?
Can this be off the record?
No. Why should it be?
We can't just let these bastards creep back to the States like nothing has ever happened. We should inform somebody over there.
Who?
But the Congress, the Senate, the President even. They should know what the CIA are doing, for God's sake. The one I've got hypnotized Oswald and the other one hypnotized Sirhan Sirhan. These two goons programmed them to assassinate the President of the United States and the U.S. Attorney General.
And you're suggesting that the CIA arranged?
No, not the top brass, maybe, but a group like Carter's people, killers, thugs, working with the Mafia.
How long have you slept?
A couple of hours.
Well, you look worn out. Why don't you get a good night's rest, and then we'll sort this thing out together. One more day won't make any difference.
I can't leave him there. He might get away.
Let me come with you. You need some sleep, James. Oh, you really do.
I need to know that we aren't going to cover up for these bastards.
Well, that'll be for other people to decide, not you and me.
If our people let these two off the hook, then there's something terribly wrong with what we've all been doing.
This has got nothing to do with what you and I do.
Oh, well, it has for me.
In what way?
I've done things, all sorts of things that I didn't like doing. Pressuring people until they couldn't take any more. Threatening to harm a man's wife. Killing people. But to me, it wasn't a just cause. The end really did justify the means. But I always thought that there was a point, a line beyond which we'd never go, not even as a last resort. Oh, there are always people in the business, agents, subversives. They knew what they were doing. They knew the risks they were taking if we caught them. But these are innocent people. Pretty girl. These two bastards have turned her into a zombie. She's killed men in cold blood, and she hasn't the vaguest idea that she's done it. Do you know what the last thing was in her programming?
No.
Guess.
I've no idea, James. Tell me.
When somebody says a certain code word to her, anywhere, anytime, she kills herself. Hmm? Wherever she is, she goes to Beachy Head and jumps. And that could be my Katie.
All that bastard has to do is to phone her and say the code word, and she's on her way to Eastbourne, and nothing and nobody can stop her. And she won't just do it, she'll want to do it, because she's been fed some rational reason for doing it. See, she's three different people, and she might just as well be dead. Her brain is like a real can of worms.
Why did you ask me to come up to see you?
Oh, I think I had some vague feeling that you told me that none of this was true. That you knew all about it and it was just a cover.
And if it wasn't, what did you expect me to do?
I thought you might agree with me that it has to be exposed.
I can't believe you really expected that.
Well, maybe not expected. Just hoped. I thought you'd be on my side.
I am on your side. You're one of my officers, and I respect your judgment. But if half of what you've told me is provable, then deciding what action to take is not in my hands. Oh. You must know that. There isn't any choice for me, and that means there isn't any choice for you. It's for others to decide. And from the sound of it, the decision may have to be made by the Prime Minister. Meantime, you get some sleep. I'm in room 21. Let's have breakfast together about 9 o'clock, okay?
What the hell are we going to do?
We're both going to get a good night's sleep.
In the 9th episode of Pay Any Price by Ted Albury, you heard Barry Foster as Jimmy Boyd, Robert Beatty as Otto Schultz, and Michael J. Shannon as Tony Simmons. Mr. Healy was played by Leslie Heritage. The serial is directed by Christopher Venning.